Hello and welcome to our second Coffee House Shots of the day. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined again by James and Katie. We're here actually back in the recording studio with a glass of white wine. So thanks, Katie. So is there a pathway to a deal before next week's EU Council? Positive noises seem to have come out of Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar's meeting today. James, what are we hearing?
So the Irish side seem very positive about this meeting. Patrick Leahy, the political editor of the Irish Times, says the UK has kind of moved on customs and that's created a sense of optimism on the Irish side that a deal can be done. I think the UK side are more cautious. They are suggesting that they haven't moved on customs in any dramatic way. I think the meeting was better than expected. I think this meeting could have marked the end of the process. But it hasn't marked the end of the process. If you see, e.g., they are still talking. I mean, there was a chance that today the two sides could have walked away saying, we are too far apart for it to be worthwhile continuing talking. They are still talking. I remain slightly sceptical as to how you square this circle on customs. And I remain even more sceptical that you can square this circle in time. What I think today has probably changed is it has, I think, suggested that a deal after a general election might be more likely than we've been thinking.
Okay.
I was saying in the cover this week, the question is, have we moved into a time question where the only two choices are no deal or no Brexit? I think today suggests that the choice might not be as binary as that, but I would still be surprised if there is a Brexit deal done and dusted by the 31st of October.
Mm-hmm. And Katie, coming out of the meeting, people have been saying that they discussed consent, customs and the future relationship between Ireland and the UK. What do you think the UK could have moved on, or Ireland could have moved on for that matter?
So they've discussed the main stumbling blocks in terms of getting an agreement. And there are some things which the UK side is more willing to move on than others. So when it comes to consent and the Stormont lock, there is a suggestion from figures around Boris Johnson that this is something that there is some space to change what Boris Johnson proposed. However, if you look at what's being briefed to the Irish press, mm-hmm. and at the moment Number 10 are quite tight-lipped on what was said at that meeting, it seems to relate to customs. And customs is the one thing people around Boris Johnson said he will not move on. So Boris Johnson's belief that the UK has to be in a single customs territory in which the whole of the UK, including Northern Ireland, has left the customs union is something he will not move on. Now, the Leo Varadkar press conference didn't go into specifics, but I think if you look at the various things people like Pat Leahy are saying, you begin to get the impression that if Leo Varadkar really thinks a deal can be done in the time available, the UK route to getting a deal is actually very complicated in terms of customs. They would say there's still a way to do it, but Brussels see it as complicated and time-consuming and pernickety in terms of how you would work all their various customs arrangements. You also have from the Irish side the suggestion that they're not accepting checks on goods still. So that would lead to this idea that it's the UK who have moved. And one idea going around is perhaps they haven't moved wholly. Perhaps we're back to, you know, a time limit on the backstop, which would see you take that position briefly and then see where you get to. But even then, all the suggestions from Downing Street recently, and including the source who spoke to James, is that they wouldn't accept that. So I had one cabinet minister say to me, and I think it's a sign that everyone currently is in the dark, including the cabinet, that they, perhaps joking, wondered whether Boris Johnson had just said something on that walk which has been misinterpreted
right.
by Leo Varadkar. So there is this sense, and it's like running joke in the government, that anyone who goes into a meeting with Boris Johnson tends to leave thinking that he has agreed with them. So you saw it often, you know, with prorogation during in the leadership contest. But most recently, you saw the One Nation caucus of MPs yesterday go in and they left saying Boris Johnson will definitely not go for specifically no deal in a manifesto. Now, I don't sense that he necessarily will, but others were quick to say they've just misunderstood what he said. So I have heard someone suggest to me maybe Boris Johnson was a bit optimistic in something he was saying and the Irish are overreading it. But one thing we do have in terms of, I suppose, concrete information is the joint statement. Both sides have said that they can see a path to a deal. And that
question
means
is it the same path?
So is it the same path? But I do think if you're going to sign that off, I had someone in government say to me, it's very hard to get Leo Varadkar to do joint statements right. from experience over the past couple of years. So the fact they've done a joint statement does suggest that one side has moved, now we get into, you know, game theory, because quickly some of the Tory side have said the first to cry victory is actually the one that's been pushed under the bus. So maybe Ireland are getting in quick. But all the mood music suggests that the Irish, at least, think they have got a big concession, and that is on customs. But again, urge scepticism, because people around Boris Johnson think it's very unlikely he would have moved as much as we were required to pass a deal.
Not to pour more cold water on this, there is form for Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar misunderstanding each other. It is worth remembering that after that meeting in Dublin, which again was a bit like this one, which is we went into that meeting in Dublin last month, I think it is now, with everyone saying, oh, this is going to be a disaster. And then it went better than anyone expected. But then it turned out that what Boris Johnson thought Leo Varadkar had implied, that if the UK moves on a single regulatory zone in Ireland, not only for agriculture but for goods, then the Irish would think creatively, didn't happen. Mm. And I do wonder if I might be getting a message from you tomorrow, Cindy, after Michelle Barnier and Stephen Barclay meet, saying, can you come back here? Because we need to do another emergency
delete this one.
Coffee house shot. So, and I also think the other thing that is worth bearing in mind is you compare the Merkel-Varadkar phone calls earlier in the week, and the Varadkar phone call went much better than the Merkel phone call, is that I think Varadkar is more aware to the fact that the EU always used to say that the backstop, even though they wouldn't accept a time limit on it, the backstop was inherently temporary. But again, I think on all this, like, one can see the way that there is a path to a deal, right? The compromises that the two sides would need to make to get there. The question is whether either side is prepared to make those compromises before October 31st, and I remain sceptical on that.
Mm-hmm. And Katie, you say that cabinet ministers around Boris Johnson don't really think he would have moved on customs. What about the DUP and the ERG? Have we heard anything from them on whether or not they're worried that he could have sold them out on a Northern Ireland only backstop?
Ultimately, if we are heading to a Northern Ireland backstop, you start to get into a different conversation, which is, can it pass the Commons? And I think it is very hard to see, which is part of the reason it's hard to imagine that Boris Johnson actually agreed to this, that this would pass the Commons. The DUP feel as though they moved as much as they really can already. Speaking to DUP MPs, they ultimately feel that they made several big concessions and got nothing in return from, you know, Irish counterparts. And actually, I spoke to one who said, you know, in a way, Brussels have revealed its true colours by rebuffing us. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to make the offer again. So I think that even if Brussels are coming back with something now, it is going to be difficult work by Downing Street to try and get the DUP to move further than they already have. I think the ERG would be very sceptical of a Northern Ireland backstop. I think some members of the cabinet would find issue with a Northern Ireland only backstop.
It is worth remembering that when Boris Johnson brought this proposal to cabinet, you know, there were several cabinet ministers who expressed their discomfort with it. You know, Steve Barclay, the Brexit secretary, wasn't hostile to it, but he suggested that Alistair Jack might want, who is the Scottish secretary, might want to speak about the implications of this for the union, which is, you know, not entirely positive language. Theresa Villiers talked about how similar, you know, it was to the May deal. Andrea Leadsom said that she supported it, but it was a bigger concession than she thought the UK needed to make. So, you know, but we shouldn't forget a fundamental fact here. Boris Johnson really does want a deal, and that means that lots of things are
You don't possible. Think he's trying to just avoid having blame shifted onto him for not trying?
Yeah, but I also think at this phase in the negotiations, right, the one thing I am fairly sure of is that there'll be a lot of after you, Claude, about when this thing actually ends. You know, I think the two sides will continue talking long after both sides think a deal can be done, because no one wants to be the person who walked out of the room and said this isn't possible.
All right, Katie, so what happens next then?
So we have Stephen Barclay going to Brussels to meet with Michel Barnier. And we're hearing from Leo Varadkar that he really hopes, you know, talks can now step up. There's some hope that you could enter the tunnel stage, which is, you know, the very intensive technical round for those negotiating. Don't really talk to politicians. They just go and try and iron out the technical difficulties, yep, in theory. And at that point, see what you come out with. But in order to go to the tunnel, you have to have both sides ultimately agree that you're very close to what could be the bones of a deal. So I think there are still several stumbling blocks, but clearly this meeting between Steve Barclay, after he's found out what exactly Boris Johnson said, and with Michel Barnier is going to be pivotal, and that would be the size of how far each side have moved. If that goes well, potentially you could head to the tunnel, but again, going back to everything we previously said on this podcast, I still sense a lot of scepticism by ministers and MPs. That's really where we're about to go. And if it is, given that at least Ireland don't have to look as though they've made concessions. We're going to have to start seeing Boris Johnson putting on quite the salesman act if we're actually going down that route.
So do cabinet ministers find out tonight then about what Boris Johnson has promised or not promised?
I don't think there's any... There's no. I mean, I've spoken to two cabinet ministers since the Johnson-Varadkar meeting broke up. Katie's spoken to one. There's no sign of any emergency cabinet meeting being called to say we've made this new offer. Now, the cabinet government is a principle more honoured in the breach than the observance in the last few decades. So, but again, I think if he was going to offer some comprehensively different thing than he'd previously told the cabinet, there would at least have been a suggestion that there would be a call tonight. Yeah. The fact that we're not moving in that direction, to my mind, suggests that this it all might be slightly less positive than people think. I also wonder whether, when expectations are so low, and don't take this literally, but you know, metaphorically, the fact that they didn't come to blows is almost, you know, what's the right way of saying it? It's kind of the fact they talked constructively.
Yeah, for 3 hours
is an achievement, right? And you know, so, but I think we will know much. I think Gaethje is totally right that. It's the Barnier-Barclay meeting tomorrow. When this is taken out of this, you know, this venue in Cheshire where Colleen Rooney had her 21st birthday party, which frequently people go to for weddings. You know, you look at the picture of them walking around the grounds, it looks like the kind of place where it'd be very hard to have an argument with someone. It's a wonderfully pleasant-looking place. I think that when the reality of that is taken to the kind of grim architecture of a Justus Lipsius building in Brussels, you know, what is actually down on a piece of paper, rather than mood music of goodwill, will be the real tell.
Yeah, and as you touched on your question, Cindy, if this is, the other things could be, which is about, you know, no one wants to look as though they're to blame for talks breaking down. Leo Varadkar being very optimistic, saying that he thinks a deal is possible. Now it's almost as though if a deal isn't possible, you can kind of put that on number 10 because Leo Varadkar was telling everyone he was ready to go. So there could be that kind of domestic politics element going too.
You're very cynical, Katie. Thanks for listening and join us again tomorrow where we'll be discussing whether or not you're Team Colleen or Team Rebecca. I'm just kidding. Thanks for listening and join us again tomorrow.